What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Brian and I were up the road up north yesterday where the Commanders lost. Let's be clear. There are no moral victories in pro football. The Commanders lost yesterday.
They're no moral victories for them. But I think you got to look at the game and look at the mistakes they made. And if they don't make those, how the game could have been a different outcome.
I think
they're a young bunch that has to learn how to consistently play. And I think the Ravens showed that yesterday. I tell you what I saw. John Harbaugh was calling that defense. Wasn't no damn Zach Orr calling that defense yesterday. they felt strongly enough about the Commanders' offense that he was calling plays after play after play.
They brought in Dean Pease this week.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing.
I think, to me, Washington showed a lot of what we thought, a little bit more of what we thought, and then, unfortunately, what we thought. I think, offensively, they started slow. Yep. That's okay. Baltimore's pretty freaking good. I think what they showed in guts was tremendous to get down two scores twice and never waver and keep fighting back in, keep clawing back in. I talked to a bunch of guys in the locker room afterwards, and what the linemen, and you know, I always want to talk to offensive linemen. I feel like they understand the game plan because they're involved in every aspect.
JP loves the linemen.
Well,
like Martin loves kids.
Trick loves the kids.
Trick, oh boy.
I think Cosby said, you know, we never feel like we're out of it because we've got that guy in the backfield.
Yeah.
And Allegretti said, when we know we have Jaden, we know we're never out of it. Like, the mindset of the team is such that they understand when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels and the accuracy with which he throws the football, you're not out of it. Yeah. And if you look at the yesterday, this is a rookie in his sixth start in the NFL.
He was still 68%, 69% yesterday.
He doesn't turn it over.
Yeah.
Did you watch Sunday Night Football last night? Daniel Jones is in like his sixth year in the NFL, maybe fifth. I don't know. And that interception he had is one of the dumbest decisions. He just chucked it up in the middle of the field. Like, this, of all the things you want to be amazed by with Jaden, the accuracy, the ability with his legs, whatever it is, just his cool and calmness under pressure, the fact that he does not turn the ball over is astonishing and, like, probably not talked about enough.
Yeah. But the thing of it, like, when I look at this game, I think, for me, it's going into the season, I expected this to be that rebuild type thing, build that foundation, move forward. But they've shown already that they're better than just that. But still, that's your ultimate goal, is to come out, like you were saying, if you come out this year knowing you got your quarterback, that's a number one plus. I think we know that we have a guy who's very capable. And we can say, yes, it's our quarterback. You know, injuries and stuff can change anything. But the ultimate thing is we know the guy has it to be able to be the guy you need. But once you start winning, I think everybody loses their mind. They begin to try to move the goalposts, in a sense. To me, it's still a year where you are rebuilding, getting this thing where you want it to be. This damn camera goes where it wanted to go sometimes. But when you watched the game yesterday, I think, like you said, they showed resilience. They showed that they're not afraid. They showed that this moment is not too big for them. But they also, I think they learned you can't make mistakes against very good teams. Because the mistakes that they made, like, the Ravens gave them opportunities several times, and they didn't capitalize.
They couldn't get much going. And I think, like, when we were leaving last night, you and I talked for a while in the tunnel there, and I think offensively Washington had too many three and outs.
Yeah.
And I think defensively, and this is where I think we're all caught up in the record and Jaden right now, but defensively, we knew that the secondary could be an issue, and going into this game, my biggest concern was I don't think they're going to be able to slow down Derrick Henry. Sure enough, they weren't able to slow down Derrick Henry. Late in that game, Henry iced it away, and that's when we discussed that this is still a long-term rebuild, that's the kind of stuff you're discussing.
Yeah.
Now, Jaden may have hit the accelerator on all of it, because he's an absolute baller. But if you look at the late game scenarios when they had to get a stop and they couldn't, yeah. and Derrick Henry, they went 9 plays, 57 yards, 6 minutes of game time. After Washington cut it to a score, 6 minutes of game time. Yeah. And they're able to kick that field goal. I honestly, I'm still a little surprised Harbaugh didn't go for it. 4th and 2, just run Henry again. Yeah. Now, because you make it 2 scores, I understand why he didn't. But
I think the absence
like the next step is getting a stop there and getting the ball back.
True. People look at this game, and I think as an offense, they go, well, like we were talking about Brian Robinson. I think Brian Robinson, what you saw with Derrick Henry early yesterday, they were handling him early. But they kept running him. And what happens over time when a guy is that size and a guy that can run like a Brian Robinson, the violence that they run with, as the game goes on, people start second-guessing hitting those guys. And then in the end, they've been hitting you with body blows all game. All of a sudden now, they can hit you right in the head and knock you out. I think that part was missing of Brian Robinson yesterday. Austin Ekeler is very, very capable. McNichols is very capable.
He didn't get the carries I expected.
He didn't. I thought he would too.
I thought he'd get red zone carries.
But I think those guys are not the battering rams that a Brian Robinson is.
I think not having B-Rob was a significant factor. Washington could not get the run game going. Yeah. And if you really want to boil this down to what the Ravens offense did better, it was third downs. Baltimore was 6 of 10 on third down. Washington was 4 of 12. In turn, they dominate time of possession. They possess the football 36 minutes to Washington's 24. And if you look just at the running backs, remove Jaden's carries, right? Because some of those are designed, some of those are scrambles. He wasn't particularly effective on the ground either. Just the backs in this game had 11 carries for 30 yards.
Yeah.
You're probably not winning.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I it's
very much not.
And I think Baltimore had a good game plan in this thing. I think defensively with Zay Flowers just absolutely cooking you.
Yeah.
And Zay Flowers at halftime had 7 for 111.
Yeah, he had a field day. He had a field day yesterday.
And, dude, when I talk about – now, with other teams, anytime you get over 50, you're losing. Anytime you're probably over 40 or 45, you're probably losing. Now, some of this is game flow. But, like, pass attempts matter. How you control an offense, the efficiency of your offense matters. I'm not sure it's a surprise that yesterday was the most pass attempts that Jaden's had as a pro.
No, it wasn't.
He's at 35.
I mean, they ran the ball.
In their wins, they're at like 27.
A total of less than 20 carries yesterday? Running the ball?
11.
I'm saying over as for both.
For everybody?
Whole, it's less than 20, right?
It was 20, and I guess Terry had a carry.
Yeah.
Maybe he caught a backwards pass. I don't remember a Terry run play, but I could be wrong.
Pass.
Maybe they ran a little jet, but it was the official book has Terry listed as 1 carry for 0 yards.
Yeah.
There's flaws here, right? Like, listen, I think you could walk away from that loss encouraged, but recognize that Baltimore was the better team.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean a month from now, 2 months from now, whatever. Like, the universe evolves. Day by day, people make progress or they go backwards. And I think Washington is making progress.
I agree.
When you cannot run the ball and you don't have your best runner, Ekeler is an absolutely dynamic threat. But I do think maybe we saw that Eckler's dynamism. What is the adverb I'm looking for dynamic? His ability to be dynamic on the field might be aided by having Brian Robinson's ability on the field as well.
It's a combination. Like, you put Brian out there, he beats him. They start getting worn, and then Ekeler comes in with his quickness and things of that nature. But I think it threw some of the game planning off with Brian not being in there. I just saw a different flow than I would normally see when B-Rob's in the game.
Agreed. I also think John Allen going down late in that game. They were down 2 D linemen in the second half of that game. Mm-hmm. Allen goes down, and I think there's some real concern there with a pec injury when they're immediately able to rule him out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been in enough press boxes, like I've heard this enough times, that generally it's like the the PA guy makes the announcement, you know, Bill Staley, ankle, questionable to return. Mm-hmm. And then if they're out, it's usually like 15 minutes later, Bill Staley, ankle, out for the game. Mm-hmm. Usually there's like a period where you're getting checked out by trainers or whatever. Mm-hmm. This one was just out. Maybe it's nothing. Who knows? Yeah, they're going to get the MRI.
Certain injuries you don't want to prolong. You don't want to go out there again because that injury can go south real quick. Ankles and things like that, sprained ankles, yeah, guys could probably, you know, get taped a certain way, get some miracle medication, and they can go back out there and run. That pec, if you get an injury to that and you go back out there and that thing goes anymore, you may be out for the rest of the season. So you got to be careful with things like
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah. And we don't know anything until the MRI, so that's fine. Good morning to the folks in the stream. Appreciate you joining us. Appreciate Jeff getting the stream up and running after he had verbal altercations with both Junkies producers.
Hey, man.
I do want to open the phones. I want to let everybody react. I think from a straight game flow yesterday, Flowers was killing them early. They were able to generate that turnover. I was happy for Sammer still.
Mikey.
I saw early on in that game, I think eventually you get a little beat up. But B, early on in that game, when the Ravens were clearly trying to attack the edges in the run game, Sammer still over and over the willingness to be hyper-competitive as a run attacker. Like, so people understand, when the Ravens are running that toss sweep, that like power sweep out to the edges, and you're the corner, you're basically a bat. Like, your job is to be cannon fodder. Yeah. Like, your job is to run up and take on the lead blocker.
Yeah.
And Sammer Still's what? 5'10", 175?
Mike's about 190.
Yeah, he's thick. You're right. But, I mean, when he's taking on a pulling guard or a tackle or
well,
I mean,
he's undersized for that.
Right. But a lot of life, like a lot of things are about a willingness. And I think he shows, dude, they list him at 5'10", 180.
All right.
Okay. Derrick Henry's what, 6'5", 250?
Yeah, too big.
But
too big to be a damn running back.
When he's able to come up and fill that, go low, man. And even
you can't go low no more. You can't go low on the offensive lineman. You can go low on the running back, but the offensive lineman, we're not corners will come in and submarine. Right. You can hit him up this area. So I think what you do, you go full speed and hit him right on his upper thigh.
Yeah, and then what Sammer still did is if he would be, say the tight end would have him engaged, he would kind of give his body up in a manner that just blows the play up.
Yeah.
If you can get down and impede their momentum, and then you've got this clump of humanity there,
yeah,
then the guard can't get past it. I was really impressed with Mikey in that game. And when you look at this rookie class, Brady Coleman didn't have his best day yesterday, but there's a willingness and an eagerness. And then when I was in the locker room after the game and you listen to what these guys said and are saying, it was the exact right tone after that loss. There have been times where people have been okay with losses because it's like, oh man, we weren't going to win here.
Yeah, I think,
wasn't the case.
I think the tone I take from it is they didn't leave feeling like we were destroyed. They left feeling like we were in this thing. We can't make those mistakes. And I think that's exactly what it was. If anybody want to make it any different, then you're crazy. That wasn't a game where you looked at it and went like, oh, yeah, they were out-manhandled. No, out-manned. No, they weren't. But you can't make mistakes in situations like that because this game, like we always say, it's four or five plays that you make or you don't make, and that decides the game. And when you get an interception down to the red zone and you leave at three instead of seven, that's a loss in a sense. You know what I mean? And then when you get the ball down there again and you get the ball very near the goal line, you got to go for a seven again. I mean, for 3 points again, that's not successful. You got to get that in the end zone.
Especially when you know the other guys are probably going to get it in the end zone. yeah, I mean, if you look at just the drive chart, to open with a field goal after the pick, like you mentioned, B, is tough. really heads up play by Sammer still, just to balls up in the air, get it, bring it home. Mm-hmm. They go 7 plays, 25 yards, all they can muster, only 1 first down, and they have to kick instead of scoring. Imagine if they jump out to a 7-0 lead. How different
it changed things a little bit.
Because that they didn't hold the lead. I don't believe they held the lead again. So then they had to punt on their next 2 possessions. Baltimore's able to tie it with a field goal. And then one thing I've been really impressed by, and I continue to like how they're operating, just the aggressiveness at the end of the first half. Every time. Oh, yeah.
They go for them, it. They don't just sit back.
They were calling timeouts while the Ravens had the ball on offense mm-hmm. to try to conserve time. And when you've got a weapon like Jaden, a guy that can really run a 2-minute hurry up. They kind of run a 2-minute hurry up regularly.
Yeah.
It's not hurry up. It's not no huddle.
They don't huddle.
It's not no huddle, but it's there's tempo for
it's
sure.
Tempo, they stay at the line, and that makes people have to be cognizant of it.
So people understand, I get that this is a frustrating point. The rule in the NFL is if you sub, no matter how fast you're going offensively, if you sub, you then have to allow the defense to sub. And that's fair. It's the rule. It's been the rule a long time. And I know that sometimes watching, it seems like the offense is being held up by the referees. It's because they subbed. If you keep the same personnel out there, they can't make a change. I think there's a lot for us to discuss today. We're going to have Danny Cannell join us at 1 o'clock, which will be really, really good to hear Danny talk Jaden Daniels and his development. I was also really impressed by the way Lamar Jackson spoke of Jaden Daniels yesterday. In short, Commanders lose yesterday. There's no moral victories. But if you look at the standings today in the NFC East, Washington's 4-2, the Eagles are 3-2, Cowboys are 3-3, and just got absolutely waxed.
They got destroyed.
The Giants are 2-4.
I love that so much.
B, they got destroyed. You know whose birthday it was?
Ooh.
Jerry Jones.
Oh, I saw they kept showing him. Look, everybody I knew, I was texting them, Cowboy fans, like, oh, man, sorry. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, we lost, but y'all getting destroyed.
Just boat raced. That may be venturing into a too broken to fix. Too big to fail. They're failing. Dak doesn't look right. They have no physicality at the line of scrimmage. We may not have to worry about the Cowpokes. That ship might be a sailing. Let's do this. Where'd it go wrong yesterday? Fellas by the name of Lamar and Derek. Nobody go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. With the record heat this summer, I know your air conditioner took a beating and your current brand is not cutting it through this humidity. So now's the time to switch to Rude. Take advantage of Rude's $2,000 tax credits and Maryland residents, you can even score exclusive rebates from Rude. I personally switched my house over to Rude and the difference is night and day. So trust me and visit Rude.com to find your savings. That's RUUD.com to see why they're the MVP of cooling. And remember, if it ain't Rude, it ain't right. B.B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. The Commanders took one on the chin yesterday against the Baltimore Ravens. Game where they made a lot of mistakes. We were talking about it. And I think ultimately for the players, they are not going to ever try to take a moral victory. But there are some good things that happened in that game and definitely some bad things and things that need to be corrected. I think one thing I keep noticing where people panic in one-on-one situations, cornerbacks. You got to stop reaching and just start running.
You reach, I teach.
And I think the ultimate thing for a cornerback, you basically have to mimic what the receiver is doing, and you know when the ball is coming. But when you get a little separation, don't reach out. Just run. His head, his eyes come up, your eyes come up. And it'll be a lot better at that. But that reaching, bro, like seeing that laundry on the damn field all the time.
I know some of the PI calls had people pissed off yesterday. The one at the goal line, the thing that bothered me was they called it late. You know how in basketball they will
wait to see
if a shot drops before they call the foul, before they blow the whistle? It was like that. That was a first half penalty. I believe it was called on BSJ. But he grabbed him. He held him.
He did.
He grabbed him. Like, it was a fair call. I just hate that they called it late. The second half one, where the receiver fell down that a lot of people were up in arms about. What'd you make of that? I think it, in real time, I think it looked like a grab, but I think if the receiver doesn't just fall, maybe they don't call that.
Mm-hmm.
But listen,
it's not a thing with Fandermar calls too. I mean, I know referees are trying to anticipate stuff, but let's see if they touch them first. And in football, you will have some level. If he's not grabbing and impeding, you can't always call that damn flag.
Yeah, I thought for me, I'll drop it in the thread right now. Shout out to Chad Wico. He did a good job of getting the video on Twitter. But that was a really tough one, the Rashad Bateman call. You would have liked that to get picked up. I feel like, and I don't have a lot of positive things to say about referees very often, I feel like more and more refs are getting better at picking flags up. They throw them, then they chat real quick, and they're like, you know what, no call. What'd you think of the call that got picked up on Terry when he got popped on the sideline? They threw the flag. It's a good clean
hit. He hit him in the chest.
Yeah.
He didn't hit him in the head, so they should have picked it up.
I think in live time, it was fair to throw the flag because the way Terry's head snapped, you wonder if there was contact. But I'm not mad that they were able to, you know, talk through it, get the correct call on the field. If you look just straight at the penalties in this thing, it felt, I think, pretty one-sided. It was 6 penalties for 46 yards. They're still not getting dinged with, like, the 50-yard. Honestly, the longest penalty in this game, and I'd have to look it up specifically, but when the Commanders got the PI on Noah Brown down the right sideline was a pretty big call.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fair. My worry with St. Juice specifically, who I think is a good player. I think not having Kendall Fuller really hurts this team. I think they could really use a smart veteran corner.
Mm-hmm.
I think BSJ, if he's like a number two option, is really a player in that scenario. But because he's long and rangy, we now have 4 years of this, right? He gets handsy. He gets grabby.
Very handsy.
And they call it.
All the time.
I the people that are like, you know, trade him, cut him, he's no good, you're wrong. The people that are like, oh, man, he's got all the tools, he could really be a star corner, I don't think you're right either. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle, and if he's ever really going to take his game further, you got to use your hands less. And I know you want to be physical and you want to use that range, but it's hurting you. Like, they're calling it. And some of this, when there's a reputation for a player, refs know it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they will not give you the benefit of the doubt if you are a guy that consistently do it. They know what you're doing.
Right.
So that's why they call so much.
Now, I do think the penalty on Bateman is tough. Because that was a one-score game at that point. It was a third down. It keeps them on the field. If you have to look at one specific call, I think that might be it. But I think it's overly simple to just... Derrick Henry finished the game 24 for a 132 with 2 touchdowns. I don't think one call is what hinged anything.
No.
I said this to Bickle as he was walking out. I think Washington proved they belong in the conversation of teams that could compete with anybody in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I'd say at any location. Like, going up to Baltimore for that game, that place was buzzing, man. And not an enviable task for the road team. The road team, everybody has home field advantage. I understand that. The visiting team locker room is such a joke in that building. It is so freaking small, and I understand that's how it works. Like, you're allowed to do that. I could comprehend all of it.
Most teams do that, though. That's all the way back to Little League.
I know, but most teams, you have enough space. It's just super awkward. They make it like a maze, kind of, but at least there's space. That joint is tight, and there, it's like, well, and when you walk in, and the lockers are to the left. And it's kind of like, imagine a big O shape or something with lockers in the middle and lockers all around. But they have that huge open space where the whiteboards are, and where, you know what I mean? Like where the bananas and the Gatorades and all that are before you get to the showers and everything. They got plenty of space, but they just only give a very little bit of it to the actual physical lockers. And, dude, this was one of those unfortunately, I have a lot of experience in losing locker rooms, but these guys playing right now, they don't. Like, this team is not – they hadn't lost in a month. So they lost. They're in this incredibly cramped, annoyingly tight
– kind of like what we do every day.
Correct. But then when the media comes in, you've also got, because it was only Baltimore, everybody from D.C. traveled up there.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of people, and the dudes couldn't get from their lockers to their showers, which didn't create the happiest environment because it was.
Yeah.
I think.
That's kind of you get in and get in and out real quick.
I don't know how the hell I got on that rant, but I did. Still, though, I think, let's say Washington was chasing most of this game, right? They were down between 14-7, 14-10, whatever it was throughout. And late in that game, 27-13, I was really impressed by 12-play, 70-yard drive that made it 27-19.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was important to show we're climbing back in this thing. And I even understand they were down 10. They needed two scores, so when you kicked at the end, when you kicked the field goal there to cut it to seven, conceptually I understand that.
Yeah.
You just had to get a stop, and they weren't going to get a stop.
No, they didn't get a stop.
But I do think, say they scored there, say they hypothetically got the stop, got a score, I think Baltimore would have scored again. The way Baltimore's offense was going –
They had the advantage, brother.
Right.
They seem to have the advantage at that point.
So I don't think we should, like, talk ourselves into, you know, they were the better team, the refs screwed them, if they didn't make a couple mistakes. Like, I think Baltimore was a better team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Washington absolutely proved we can compete with those dudes. We are on the same level, same platform, and whether they are or they aren't is debatable, but what's far more important is that they believe that.
There you go.
You know? And Dan Quinn believes that, and that's what they're building towards. And I got some audio from Terry and from Jaden. Jaden's last answer at the podium, I think, was the absolute best answer Jaden had at the podium. We're going to play that for you. We're going to open these phone lines up at 11 a.m. Danny Cannell's going to join us at 1 o'clock. Ultimately, though, I got this tweet, B, that I think is pretty damn good.
All right.
From Blessed in the DMV. Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry are first ballot Hall of Famers. We couldn't stop them. That's why we lost. I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. I mean, when the best two players on their team has to, it gets a chance to go out there and do what they normally do, it's going to be hard to beat that team, especially when you're in a building situation. So when you go into the game you were hoping to limit, you know you wasn't going to stop. Well, that wasn't limiting as either. They were doing what they wanted to do whenever they wanted to do it.
Agreed. And especially in the second half, especially when Allen's out, Armstrong's out, If they had to play the Ravens 10 times, I think Baltimore wins the majority of them. But I think they learned a lot going up there. And when you look just at the NFC teams, it's a real conversation. It's people can tell me to pump my brakes or whatever. I'm telling you, Baltimore was a better team. I'm not one of these people that's trying to rationalize somehow that Washington – came out of Sunday's game better. They didn't. Baltimore was better.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at how things set up. You got Carolina, Chicago at home before you go to the Meadowlands. Now, if you're able to look big picture here, you got to start to like the picture.
Yeah, I mean, you're sitting.
You've got a quarterback.
You're sitting at 4-2 with 11 games left. The absolute best team that you have faced this year, Ravens, it might be the best team you're going to face all year. They have two coming up now. The Bears played damn good yesterday. That could just be the Jacksonville sucks.
Jacksonville sucks.
Okay, but the ultimate thing
is. But
Caleb's
starting to put it together a little bit.
Yeah, but they are, and we know last year what they did in the what they did to our secondary. We're going to have to step up. And what I loved early in the game, they were getting pressure on Lamar. You got to that, but it kind of tapered off as the game went on. That has to be consistent. You got to be more consistent with it. Because if you get pressure on these quarterbacks, you at least give your secondary a chance. You get no pressure, it's going to be a problem.
You know what is always consistent? That plumbing problems strike at the worst possible time. It's inevitable. So you should also know that no matter the plumbing predicament or when it may happen, you can schedule an appointment with Crop Metcalf, the five-star plumbing experts at CropMetcalf.com. Save time and schedule now to have a Crop Metcalf five-star plumbing technician at the ready to expertly handle any plumbing pickle you may find yourself in. Visit CropMetcalf.com now to schedule. And remember, Crop Metcalf is the one with five stars. That's for you, Landfill. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician.
College Park, where they chop cars.
Dirty
College
turps.
Park going to be jumping this week.
I don't know.
Well, D.C. going to be jumping, to be honest with you. You got USC at Maryland. You got Howard homecoming. And then you got the alumni weekend with the team, with the Commanders. And Darryl Green's jersey retirement. Going to be jumping, brother.
I think the home loss to Northwestern on a Friday night kind of impacted my Dirty Terps.
Yeah.
that's a tough L, man.
Yeah, but
get whatever. USC's USC. They
USC's
just beat Penn
coming
State.
In, brother. Didn't Penn State beat them?
You're right. Penn State beat them at the end. That was a good game. It was a really good weekend of college football. Did you get to watch Ohio State, Oregon?
No. I saw like bits and pieces.
It was awesome.
I didn't watch the whole game.
It was a lot of fun. We've been blabbering here for a minute. I want to check in with the boys in the aquarium. Good morning, Landfill. How you feeling about the Commanders yesterday?
I mean, they lost to a better team.
They lost to a better team. They performed. I'm not too mad at it. I think we should check in with Jeff, though.
Jeff, you okay?
Jeff been yelling. I walked in at like 9:45-ish, and Jeff was already going at it in the aquarium with
Jeff don't
producer.
Back down from that.
Obviously, Valdez is an actual Ravens fan. Drab, I think, is kind of just hating on Jeff.
Just a hater.
How are you, Jeff?
I'm good, man. But it's something I got to get off my chest. You other fans, stop hating on us, making it seem like we're supposed to just go through the season quiet, not talking, not cheering for our team. Like, we're supposed to just go out here ready to take L's just because we play a better team. Like, stop that. It sucks. it sucks. Also, stop painting us Commanders fans to be ignorant about the game. Like, we understood that the Ravens were a better team, but we have confidence in our team. We're seeing something new. And Just stop hating on us, because that's all it is. Because last season, you weren't talking to us like this. You wasn't talking to us like this the season before, when we wasn't winning and we were happy. We were happy that we were pulling out wins. Like, all this trash talk wasn't there. But now that we're went B, this what y'all was going through in 91?
Oh yeah, we had a lot of hate.
Yeah, because I'm starting to feel it feels good. But just stop. But
I was thinking about that. About this morning, I recognize there's going to be some statistical, whether they're anomalies or patterns that compare to 91. Let's as a radio program stop the 91 comparisons. That's an all-time great team, and these guys ain't close. That you started 11-0, these guys lost the opener. I like this team. I like what they're building, but let's forsake talking about 91.
But see, I don't. JP, when people are saying, like, when fans are, like, of course, when us younger fans are asking about 91, we're not saying that, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. We're not saying that.
I get that. We're let's talk about 99. That was a good team.
I
was there, too.
We were winning. A good team, and I think if the Turk boys connect on that field goal, you're going to the NFC title game. Mm-hmm. Like, 99 I'm cool with.
All right, well, let's go 99.
Basically, like it's
the last time we actually was seeing a winning team.
It's also like, the last time I was in high school.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Like, because we don't know what, like, we keep beating the same bush and burning the same, whatever.
Whatever the saying is, yeah, I don't know what the hell you're saying.
We keep beating this dead horse. That's what it was. I'm just mad.
But it's like, bush?
Yeah. Forget it. But the thing is, dude, we're just saying in regards to winning, dude. Like we're seeing our team win, and we have optimism about the future. That's all it is. But it seems like just because we're happy about the future and we're understanding the game, like we understood that our defense was a little bit it's bad. We understood that, but you can't get mad at us. Or you can't try to, I would say, calm down our excitement for the future. Any team that has been losing for so long and they actually see their team trending in the right way correctly, you know, it's not just a hot streak here. It actually looks like there's some substance behind the team. Any fan of any team in any league is going to be excited for improvement.
This guy, Pedro Gonzalez, he said, I know I'm only one fan, but I want you to be able to tell the players and coaches, thank you for giving the fans hope every Sunday and Monday when they're playing games on Mondays. That's what it is. The fans have hope now. They went through a long period of time where wasn't much hope. We had some of the super, super diehards who tried to fake it out, but it wasn't a ton of hope. But right now, they don't quit. They keep fighting. And I think a lot of fans just understand when you go into a game, the possibility of winning is there, unlike it used to be in the past.
B, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. I think, I mean, specifically, hope, it's directly correlated to the quarterback position.
Hell yeah.
And when you look at an organization, I mean, you can tell me the stat you want to hear, but here's what I can tell you. And you've heard me say these before, but I continue to point them out to just hammer the absurdity of the quarterback futility in this city. The franchise's all-time passing touchdowns leader last played in 1952. You know how many more touchdowns are being thrown now than there were in the 40s? This dude played football during World War II. It's almost 100 years ago. And he's the all-time passing touchdowns leader. Like, the math suggests that shouldn't be possible.
True.
They play way more games now. They throw the ball 50 times more.
Yep.
There's a million rules in place to make it better for the offense. Sonny Jurgensen is a Hall of Famer and a hero. He's my father-in-law's favorite player ever. I think if you were of that generation and you got to watch Sonny, he not only had the best arm in the league, he was also just pretty damn cool. Sonny has some juice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sonny's the last quarterback to throw for 30 touchdowns in a season. That's like fairly commonplace. Baker Mayfield, I think, has 15 through 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And Washington hasn't had a quarterback throw for 30 since 1967.
I wasn't even born, Jim.
Bro, 1967.
Yeah, that's before I was born.
Like, just the absurdity of all of that. And Theismann played really well, and they were a run-first team. And Robert had a rocket ship of a rookie year. And Kirk had some good years. But, like, none of it has felt like this, where this dude looks like people are so caught up in, like, a future MVP, whatever you want to say. He looks like a franchise quarterback, a legitimate franchise quarterback.
True.
As much as Bruce botched the Kirk situation, maybe they should have paid him. Maybe Kirk's not worth $60 million a year, whatever. Nobody would botch this. Mm-hmm. You watch this. I don't care about EPA and all the advanced analytics, which tell you Jaden is the dude. Just watch it.
Yeah.
Just eye test.
He passed the eye test consistently.
And that's why this is different.
I talked with Rod Wilson yesterday on the sideline. And I just tell you, I love talking to guys that will be facing your quarterback. And when they give him praise, that's stuff I like to hear. Rod is a Hall of Famer, and he was praising him. So the ultimate thing is, we've traveled already this year. We've been around. I talked to different people. And it's not just fans of this team that are impressed by him. It's people, fans of other teams outside of the buildings that are sitting up there praising this kid because he does things the right way. He has it. You know, that it, whatever that it is, he sure in the hell has it.
You'll hear that it when we return.